welcome to the very first episode of Torah Conversations, where we discuss the weekly Torah portion read by Jewish people in synagogues all over the world from a Christian and Messianic perspective. I'm your host, Frank Sway. I'll be joined by my friend Yoav from Israel, and we're going to be discussing the very first portion in the Bible. Join us as we go on a journey of discovery and connect with God's covenant people. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy. Well, hello. Welcome to the very first episode of this brand new show we call Torah Conversations, where a Jew and a Gentile will be joining together to talk about the weekly Torah portion read in synagogues all across the world every week from a Messianic and a Christian perspective. Well, today we're going to be discussing the very first portion. It's called Bereshit, which means in the beginning. It's from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 6:8. And I'm going to be joined by my friend Yoav from Israel, who's going to be discussing this portion with me. Yoav is an Israeli Jew, and he is also a Messianic believer, which means he believes in Jesus as the Messiah. So Yoav, what is your experience with the Parashat HaShavua?
To be honest with you, I didn't really grow up in a synagogue that they read it weekly. Mm-hmm. So my first experience with the Parashat HaShavua was on my bar mitzvah.
Right.
First, wow. Read the from the Torah. I was allowed to read from the Torah. It was the story of the three men that came to Abraham to eat with him.
Oh, wow.
That was my portion, yes.
That's an interesting portion.
Yes, it is.
We're going to get there at some point in future episodes. But how did you come to faith?
First time I ever heard the name of Yeshua was during my military service. So until then, I knew him by the name Yeshu in Israel, or maybe all around the world, Jews call him Yeshu, which means cursed, literally cursed on his name. Yeah. Cursed is being
Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, yes, the acronym. And all of Israel, even in publications, when they talk about Jesus, they use Yeshu, not
Yeshu, yes. On the news, everywhere. Wikipedia, you searching for information about him in Hebrew, it's still Yeshu. So I first heard about that his name actually is Yeshua, which means in Hebrew, salvation, literally. Yeah. And I heard the gospel from a Messianic Jew that served with me in the army. Mm-hmm. So I thought that I knew who God is, that I have a relationship with him, even though I didn't believe that he's the God of Israel or whatever. I believe that he's the universe and whatever. So told me about the Yeshua, a man born sinner, in separate from God, all of that. But just out of curiosity, I didn't search for God, that's for sure. Out of curiosity, I asked him to bring me a new testimony to the base, which was like to give me something illegal, you
right.
know?
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. So I took the book, opened it.
Just so our listeners know, the New Testament, Brit HaChadasha, is not banned in Israel. Israel is a democratic state with freedom of religion for all religious beliefs, and you're free to practice your faith. It's just that in the Jewish mindset, you cannot believe
in a Jewish mindset.
Yes.
Of course.
So you can absolutely bring a New Testament to the army base. That's not a problem. But it's in their mindset.
The attitude.
Yes, right.
It is the attitude. And yes, but you cannot find it in library or in bookstores. Yes, I think the Quran, I'm not 100% of sure about it, but I think the Quran you can find, but the New Testament you can't.
That's interesting.
I need to check it.
Very interesting. Yeah, so she brought a New Testament.
She brought me that. To home, open it, the book of Matthew. Wow. I think it was the second book that I ever read in my life.
Wow.
Yes, I think so. Open it in Matthew chapter 1 until chapter 7, I think, or 8. All the sermon, throughout all the sermon on the mountain.
Yeah.
And I was 100% sure. I knew that Yeshua is the Messiah and he is God.
Wow. So how did you just know? Did you feel it, or did you sense something, or did you just
know it? I knew that there is any chance that a regular man speaking that word. It cannot be a regular man like me or like the all the others.
Right. Wow.
And yes, I just feel it.
That was the Holy Spirit then.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
That was the Holy Spirit. And you know, I continue with to be a soldier in the army. And when I came home on Saturday, weekend.
On Shabbat.
On Shabbat, yeah, yes, yeah. For Shabbat.
Yeah.
Continue to read it week after week. And one day, I said, okay, if this is the truth, how do, you know, I cannot continue my life regularly if this is the truth. If God, who he says he is, you know, and if this is true, so I need to act to this truth. And one day I read that Yeshua say, whoever wants to follow after me need to deny himself. Denied is, in Hebrew we say nefesh. In denies his soul.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, okay, if this is the truth and God himself speaking to me and say denied this. So I took a note, like a ceremony. I dig a hole in the ground, put it there, like I dig my soul, and I said, God, if you are God and if Yeshua is the Messiah, if it's true, I'm going to give you all my life.
Wow.
And long story short, after 1 year, I was in my room. Something happened that, sorry, but I cannot describe it in a word, but literally fell down on my face. God opened, took my heart, bring me a new one, brought me a new one. And from that on, my life were completely different.
Wow.
How I look people, how I look, see women in this world, how I see this world, how I see the God, how I see the Bible.
Yes.
And
but
I
know,
was.
Did you know about the verse in Ezekiel at the time about how God?
No,
gives
I didn't
us
know.
New heart.
I didn't know nothing. I didn't know who is believing Yeshua in Israel.
Right, but you experienced it. This
experienced
new life.
Experienced it 100%. 100%. And you know, I was just a regular, still soldier in the army, still going to parties, still hang out with women, but it didn't felt like enjoyable anymore.
Yeah.
I knew what is sin, and I felt it in my heart.
Wow.
You know, I have this knowledge of sin, and but I didn't know what to do with it. Like, you know, what happened to me? I didn't know what happened
to me. Right,
right. And you are not longer you anymore, like you don't longer enjoy from the things that you used to enjoy. And tell you for example, okay, short example, I was in the army and I heard from the other room a soldier with a yarmulke, a religion soldier, speaking bad things on a woman, like speaking to her dirty. And I was so upset with him that I almost start a fight with him. And the problem with me, the problem was that for me, he should represent God. And I couldn't handle with that he speaking that dirty words to a woman. Because he represents God.
Right.
So also I began a jealous to be a jealousy on God somehow. I don't know. Okay, never mind. I finished the army. Started, you know, after 3 years, you want to be a free man. You know, they tell you to shave, they tell you to hear your cut, when to wake up, what to do. So you want to in Hebrew we say, eat this word.
Yeah.
So drugs, party,
yeah,
so on. And I all the time felt that I don't belong to those places anymore. One day I was a barman. One of the workers asked me, Yoav, what is your dream? And without thinking, I look on this man and told him, my dream is to do what God wants me to do. And in that second, I thought to myself, okay, what happened to me that I say this crazy thing?
Yeah.
A couple of weeks later, it was on Passover. I went to the Sea of Galilee, slept there on the beach, and I read from Instagram a verse from the Torah about the blessing of the priests. You know, make God make his face shine on you. That's
yes,
passage.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Aaronic blessing. Yeah.
Yes. And from that moment on, I stopped run from God and start following. You know, and I began his priest.
Yes.
Share people on him, to tell him that he is the true, the way and the life. And, you know, I have such a peace in my heart that I cannot describe, and this access, you know, God literally make his face shine on me. And yes, it's such a blessing for my life, such a blessing to it's to be blessed man, you know.
Yes.
I joined a congregation. In the congregation, we read the portion of the week every week. I think it's amazing to read the Torah like in a systematic way. You know, it's the heart of the Bible.
That's right.
The same story all over.
Yes.
But this story, you know, of salvation
yes.
of the humankind.
Exactly.
I love the Torah.
Me too. You know, I've been part of this local synagogue here in Scotland, not as a Jew, but as a Christian friend of the community. There's a few of us here serving the Jewish community, worshipping with them, helping out in various ways, standing with them against anti-Semitism and so on. And we don't talk about Yeshua, of course, out of respect and sensitivity towards history with regards to anti-Semitism from the church.
Yes.
And which most Christians are completely oblivious to, by the way. We might talk about that in future episodes. We are simply there to serve and build bridges and bring reconciliation. So, yeah, but for a period of time, we would gather every week on Shabbat to discuss the Torah portion of that week. And I have to say, Yoav, it was my favorite time of the week, and it was something that I looked forward to every week, even in the midst of all the busyness last year, like traveling on assignments as the Lord began to speak prophetically about the nations, about Israel, and you know, the warfare around all of that can be really heavy. But in the midst of all that, the Torah group was like an anchor for me. And you know, I was in Israel last July, and when I came back, I could not wait to get back into synagogue and just read and discuss the portion.
Nice way.
And you know, as a Gentile Christian, reading the five books of Moses systematically in that context, you know, I was confronted every week with details in the text that I would normally skip over myself because they don't apply to me.
Yes.
But because I needed to discuss them, you know, I was forced to read them. And it enriched my life so much, and it gave me a deeper understanding of my own faith in Yeshua. Because, you know, as Christians, we say the law and the prophets point to Jesus. I mean, it's true. Yeshua himself said that. But when we hear that, it sort of just becomes another reason why the Old Testament is not relevant to us. You know, we say, oh, because we know Jesus, we are covered for all of that. We don't need to know them. But you know, it's actually the other way around. You know, understanding what it is exactly that Jesus came to fulfill helps us know Jesus better. So understanding the Jewish roots of our faith, it gives us life. So the purpose of this show, you know, this podcast, as we take a whole year to go through the entire Torah, the entire five books of Moses with synagogues all across the world, you know, they read the same schedule. They have the same schedule. All the religious Jews in the world, they share the same exact same schedule. So as we follow through this schedule with them and connect with the Jewish people, we want to give, you know, we want to give our Christian audience a messianic perspective on the Old Testament text and the Jewish perspective on the Gospels and the New Covenant. So without further ado, let's get into the Torah portion of the week. It's the first portion. It's the first portion of the whole year, the Reshit, or in the beginning. It's the very first portion of the whole year. It's from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 6:8, a little over five chapters, and it's about the 6 days of creation and the Sabbath and the first sin of Adam and Eve and the story of Cain and Abel and so on, all the way up to Noah, really, just before he started building the ark, up until that point. Basically, it's a story of you know, how the universe began and how man was created, and we messed up, and everything went wrong from there. So, Yoav, do you have any thoughts about this parasha, about this portion?
You have many thoughts about it. Yes, a very interesting portion. It's the beginning. This portion, it's the heart of the Bible. We can see this story We can find it so many times in the Bible when God meets with people, their sin against him, and God make a way to take them back to his presence.
Yes, yes.
It's the story of the Bible, the whole Bible.
Yeah,
specifically this portion as well.
Yeah, and I love the fact that the garden is a place where God walked with man. It's the place of encounter, and that's the whole purpose of our faith is to have this intimacy with God in the garden, you know, without shame, without fig leaves, and without hindrances. And what I find interesting is, you know, in the 6 days of creation, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you read it carefully, the earth here in verse one is not the planet Earth. It's not, because it was formless and void. Now, the planet Earth actually came much later, which we're going to see in a bit. But just so we understand at this point, the heavens and the earth was one reality, not two distinct aspects. It was one reality, formless and void, and all of creation, or most of it anyway, was contained in what was called the heavens and the earth. It was altogether like a mixture of chaos. It was formless and it was void, but the Spirit of God was hovering over that chaos, and God spoke his word, and then order came out of that chaos. This is so amazing, because when the Spirit of God hovers over something, hovers over a situation, and you speak the word of God, things shift. And this is the prophetic in operation right here. When we talk about the prophetic, when the prophetic anointing comes upon a person, and all of a sudden you begin to see what the Spirit of God is doing, you begin to see that the Spirit of God is hovering over that situation, and God begins to speak, and it shifts things. And a lot of times, you know, we might be feeling like, oh, I'm just declaring God's promises over and over again. I'm declaring the word of God, and nothing's changing. Like, it's kind of like frustrating, you know. But you see, the key is, you know, what is the Spirit of God doing, and where is he hovering over, and what is the word of the Lord for us to declare over that situation specifically? And we need to discern where the Spirit of God is hovering. And this is, you know, especially important at this time, because the world we're living in, I think, is in quite a bit of chaos right now. But the Spirit of God is hovering over the earth. And we're in the middle of a divine reset. And when you get into his presence, you get into his presence, you behold his glory in worship, and you get into the Spirit, he begins to take you up. And all of a sudden, you're going to begin to see how the Spirit of God is hovering over different parts of the earth, and what is he doing? And he's going to give you words. You know, when you do that, he's going to give you words that are so specific, and you're going to begin to prophesy. You're going to prophesy. You're going to begin to declare the word of the Lord, you know, over the nations, different regions of the earth, and you're going to see them shift. You're going to see them shift. And this is, you know, it's time, you know, for the church to really rise up in this hour, to, you know, to really discern what the Spirit is doing and prophesy into that situation, rather than shrinking back in fear. Anyway, that was a tangent. Anyway, back to Genesis. So the earth in verse 1 is not planet Earth, because it was formless and void in verse 2, as in the Hebrew word, tohu vavohu, and it was some kind of water-like chaos which the Spirit of God was hovering over, you know, the waters. And both heaven and earth were contained in it. And I even think of the word, you know, heaven, shamayim, you know, in Hebrew, and water, mayim. Shamayim, mayim, shamayim, mayim. It's like, mayim. It's almost like the same root.
So all, this is the beautiful, this is the beauty in the Hebrew language and the Bible, you know?
Yes.
Because the Bible originally written in Hebrew. So Hebrew is a root. So yes, it's like a link, you know, a word in Genesis. When they use it in purpose. When they, yes, when, for example, like Jeremiah or another prophet or the other writers use this specific word to be a link to this passage, to Genesis,
yes,
or to that.
Yes. Yes. And then verse 6, then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. God made the expanse and separated the water which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. So I think of a little balloon filled with water, and you blow it up inside a big bowl of water, like, so when you do that, you know, just think, just imagine it, an expanse is created inside the balloon, and it separated water from water. It separated water outside the balloon from the water, you know, inside the balloon. And yeah, and then it goes on to say, God called the expanse heaven. Now keep this imagery in mind. Verse 9, then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters sea. Now, this is the planet Earth. You know, the planet Earth wasn't created. Didn't come to be until day three of creation. You know, when you think about this, when you look at it this way, it changes how we view the universe entirely, because if planet Earth is the gathering of the waters below, and the expanse below the expanse, and the dry land appears, then the heavens is it means our universe has a physical edge. The heavens is inside the universe. It means our universe has a physical edge, and on the other side of this edge is water. Now, this might sound like a new concept to many of our listeners, but as you look at Psalms 148:4, and it says, praise him highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens, or in Hebrew, Hallelujah Shmei Hashamayim V'Hamayim Asher Me'al Hashamayim. You know, here we have it again, Shamayim Mayim, Shamayim Mayim. We also know that God lives in heaven, in the highest heavens. Psalms 115, it says, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. Psalms 14:2, the Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Deuteronomy 26:15, look down from heaven, your holy habitation, this is talking to God, and bless your people Israel. Now think about this, God lives in heaven, in the highest heavens, and heaven is in this universe. And above the heavens are those ancient waters. Now, heaven is not this immaterial, euphoric place outside the universe somewhere. It's a real and concrete place. It's a vibrant place. It's a city. It's the dwelling place of God. And his temple is there. And it's coming down. So God lives inside the universe. He does not live outside the universe, as many people tend to think. He lives inside the universe, inside his creation. He is not outside time. He is from everlasting to everlasting. I think it's Psalms 90. I think, I'm not sure. I mean, yes, he transcends time. He transcends his creation, but he chooses to dwell. He chooses to tabernacle with us in his creation, in his universe. He chooses to dwell with us under this canopy.
Yes.
And yeah, and I find
so
it
beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I find it interesting that right after he created the universe, the heavens and the earth, planted a garden and created it was Adam and Eve, there was a wedding as the very thing. And I think of the chuppah. You know, the chuppah is the canopy in a Jewish wedding where the bride and groom, you know, meet under the chuppah. And it's a,
right.
it's a symbol of God's presence at the wedding and in the home as well, being established under that canopy. And they say the name of God, the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, hovers above it, hovers above that the canopy, the chuppah, and it sanctifies the space below. So that's the Jewish tradition. Right. So when I look at the universe according to Genesis 1, the whole universe, the entire universe is a chuppah. It's a bridal canopy, and it's unto a day when the heaven and the earth will come together, when the Mishkan, the tabernacle of God, will come to be with man, and he's going to be our God. We're going to be his people, and the bride will marry the lamb, and the new Jerusalem is coming down. So, you know, as we can see here from the get-go, we see God's purpose. We see the end from the beginning, and the whole creation is unto a wedding. And right after he created the universe, the heavens and the earth, there was a wedding. You know, the wedding of Adam and Eve was a prophetic picture of the ultimate wedding between God and man. And so are all the weddings that happen in this age. You know, the ultimate wedding is not symbolic of the weddings in this present age. It's the other way around. All the weddings we have on earth in this present age point to that ultimate wedding.
Yes, maybe I want to add on it, on what you said.
Yeah.
Like what I understand from the text and from what you said from the text, that God is not God that just created the universe, created a man and walk away.
Exactly.
The God that wants to be close, that I think we are also, we are, because we created in his image, and we created to be in relationship with God.
That's
can't
right.
Deny it, and we are born with the knowledge of God.
Yes.
There is a God out there. We might don't know who exactly is, but we know that, and we are need to be in to approach him and to be reconnect with him.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Because right after the Lord created Adam and Eve, they messed up. They gave Adam and Eve this charge to rule the earth, to have dominion over the earth, to name all the animals, to populate the earth, to be fruitful and multiply. And they screwed it up, and everything went wrong.
Yes. You want to read something of that? You want to jump to talk about?
Yeah, let's do it. Whoa! Ah, I feel the, whoa, wow, I feel the presence, whoa, haha, this is going to be some podcast, whoa, ha, whoa, ah, they screwed it up, so, and then we go to Genesis 3. Yeah,
three,
Genesis
right.
3. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you want to continue?
Yes, I can here? Say it. I think Genesis 3, when you look outside, open your TV, see what happened today in this world, and you don't understand what happened, open Genesis 3. It will describe everything that happened in this world. Everything that happened now in this world is a consequence of what happened in Genesis 3.
Yes. Yes, so in Genesis 3, the serpent deceived Eve.
Yes.
And she says, you're not going to die. God says, you're going to eat, you can't eat this fruit. If you eat it, you're going to die. The serpent says, you're not going to die because, you know, you're going to be like God. So, and this is, yeah, this is kind of like, this is what man wants. Like the depth of the sinfulness of all mankind is wanting to be like God. Like even in this pandemic, we see like different people, like millionaires and billionaires investing in various things, you know, the scientific field, the medical fields, with all these political agendas seeking selfish gains and seeking money and power. And it's all rooted in sin and the human nature that wants to be like God, you know. But Jesus is coming with a different government, a kingdom built on servanthood, and it's a kingdom of meekness and humility. You know, it's the Sermon on the Mount that's going to be the constitution of this kingdom when he comes to establish his government, his literal,
yes,
physical.
And I can add to it that, you know, every person, not just the millionaires, anyone want to accept God? Okay, let me say it again. Every man born with this desire to be God.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Decide to himself what is good and what is bad.
Yes.
I think it's good, but you might think that it's bad. But who decide what is good and what is bad?
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And this is the reason why most of the people in this world, they are not receive God, the God that we see in the Bible, yes, the Yud Hey Vav Hey.
Yes.
To be their God, because they want to be God himself. They want to decide what is good and what is bad.
Mm.
Don't want anyone to be the king, the God who decide what is good and what is bad for them.
Right.
And yes, so I want to link it to maybe to my testimony, yes. So when Yeshua the Messiah, and we see God also say, deny yourself and follow me, part of it, it's the our desire to be our own God.
Yes.
You know? This is part of that, to follow after God, to follow what he said is true. Maybe you say it's bad, maybe I say it's good, but what God said, let's follow after God. And
yes,
the world would look different and much better place if everyone follow what God said is good and what God said is bad. And the fighting that we see today in the TV and all around us, you know, left, right, black, white, whatever.
Mm.
Everyone wants to control, to
yes,
be in position of God. And then, and you know, this world, one day somebody told me about philosophia. Philosophia, how do I say it?
Philosophy.
Philosophy. Trying to explain what is philosophy. So he told me, look at this table. Okay, I say it's table, but philosophy, you can say it's something else. And I thought
That's
to
right.
myself, how do I know if it's a chair, if it is a table? I cannot know. But the one who created this table, he's the only one can say what is it.
That's right.
Also in our life and in this world, God decided, God created this world for purpose and for a meaning.
Yes, and that's right.
Yes.
That's right, yeah. So when the first Adam, along with his wife, failed in their mission to have dominion over the earth, to be fruitful and multiply, and they lost their authority, God did not give up his plan for mankind. So a second Adam is coming to restore the earth along with his bride to rule the earth. It's going to be a totally different kingdom, a totally different set of values, a different system entirely. It's going to be a kingdom that's built on meekness and humility and servanthood, and we as the as citizens of his kingdom even now get to walk in this reality.
Yes, and I want to add in verse 9.
Yeah.
God, you can read it maybe in English.
Yeah. Why don't you read it in Hebrew and then I'll read it in English?
Okay.
Yeah.
Vayikra Adonai Elohim el Adam vayomer lo ayecha.
And then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you?
Where are you? And
yes,
I think from this is like the word from the heart of God. said, like, where are you? What happened to you?
Yeah.
No, we start to, Adam start to hide himself from God. Mm. Instead of running to him, to his hand, like, God, hello, you know, God walked with him. And this is the heart of God. Where are you? Ayeka.
Ayeka.
The Bible was written for a man to be able to say, God, here I am. Hineni. From
Hineni,
Ayeka,
yes.
To Hineni.
Oh, come on.
This is the heart of
so
God.
So good. So instead, good.
And yes, but also we can see here that we cannot cover our sin with our deeds and our power and our, you know, we
That's
cannot
right.
gap in our power the gap that we have today from God. Like,
yes.
And this is, I think, the older religion. That's what they're trying to do. They're
yes.
trying to cover their sin throughout their deeds or whatever. Like God, Adam trying to hide the sin with a fig tree. But
That's
what
right.
God did in verse 21,
yeah.
you can read it in English.
Okay, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them.
Yes, God clothed them. They
yes.
didn't clothe themselves. Only God can cover our sin.
Yes.
And the hope that we have, okay, so what the hope? The hope is verse 15. When God one day bring from the seed of the woman somebody that going to, how do you say it in English?
To crush the
crush the
yes.
head of the serpent, then this is the spirit, the snake, the Satan, that always separate us from God. He wants to tempt us against God. And
yeah.
also the word sin in Hebrew, chet, it's mean to miss the target.
Yeah.
When we sin, we miss the targets and the
yes.
purpose of our life, to be in relationship in God.
That's
so
right.
the hope of us, that's what I want to live. Those who are going to hear that. Verse 15. This is our hope. The seed of the woman. The one going to crack. Yishuf. Idroch al harosh. In Hebrew, it's to crash on his head with the
yes.
with his leg.
With his heel, yeah.
With his heel, yes.
Yeah.
So this is our messianic hope. And this is the first
yes.
messianic prophet in the Bible.
Yeah, and it's the very first portion of the whole Bible. We see the whole purpose of the of God creating the universe, creating mankind, and also his plan to redeem mankind when we do miss the mark. Well, I think this is all the time we have today, and we're going to wrap up here. Thank you, Yoav. I want to encourage everyone to take some time to look at the Torah portion this weekend. Of course, half an hour is not nearly enough to cover the whole Torah portion, and we actually went over a little bit, but hey, it's our first episode. So in future episodes, I'm going to bring in more guests, and you will hear from Yoav again. If you've enjoyed this first episode of Torah Conversations, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and all the other major platforms. And I shall see you same time next week. Be blessed.